This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
It is an arresting fact that right across the board, in every single one of the major world faiths, compassion, the ability to feel with the other, in the way we've been thinking about this evening, is the not only the test of any true religiosity, it is also what will bring us into the presence of what Jews, Christians, and Muslims call God or the divine. It is compassion, says the Buddha, which brings you to nirvana. Why? Because in compassion, when we feel with the other, we dethrone ourselves from the center of our world and we put another person there.
In 2008, religious scholar Karen Armstrong was one of three winners of the TED Conference TED Prize. The annual invitation-only conference is devoted to what is described as ideas worth spreading. The organization believes passionately in the power of ideas to change attitudes, lives, and ultimately the world. The nonprofit group has built what they describe as a clearinghouse that offers free knowledge and inspiration from the world's most inspired thinkers, and also a community of curious souls to engage with ideas and with each other.
Karen Armstrong's TED Prize wish, or idea, if you will, was to initiate an international charter for compassion to help restore the golden rule as central to religious practice and daily life throughout the world. And today, Thursday, November 12th, the Charter for Compassion was unveiled.
We're joined in the studio by counselor and spiritual practitioner Fatah Taylor. Welcome to People First Radio, Fatah. And today we more closely consider the role of compassion in our personal lives and in our lives lived among others in the community, at work, and in positions of power and influence.
We'll share some of what Karen Armstrong has said about compassion and about a charter for compassion in audio clips from various videos that have been posted by the TED organization on the web. But first, here is the Charter of Compassion released today for the first time.
The principle of compassion lies at the heart of all religious, ethical, and spiritual traditions,
calling us always to treat all others as we wish to be treated ourselves.
Compassion impels us to work tirelessly to alleviate the suffering of our fellow creatures.
To dethrone ourselves from the center of our world and put another there.
To honor the inviolable sanctity of every single human being.
Treating everybody without exception.
With absolute justice, equity, and respect.
It is also necessary in both public and private life
to refrain consistently and empathically from inflicting pain,
to act or speak violently out of spite, chauvinism, or self-interest,
to impoverish, exploit, or deny basic rights to anybody,
and to incite hatred by denigrating others, even our enemies,
is a denial of our common humanity.
We acknowledge that we have failed to live compassionately.
And that some have even increased the sum of human misery in the name of religion.
We therefore call upon all men and women
to restore compassion
to the center of morality and religion.
To return to the ancient principle
that any interpretation of scripture
that breeds violence,
hatred,
or disdain
is illegitimate.
To ensure that youth are given accurate and respectful information
about other traditions, religions, and cultures.
To encourage a positive appreciation
of cultural
and religious diversity.
To cultivate
an informed empathy
with the suffering of all human beings,
even those
regarded as enemies.
We urgently need to make compassion a clear, luminous, and dynamic force in our polarized world,
rooted in a principled determination to transcend selfishness.
Compassion can break down political, dogmatic, ideological, and religious boundaries.
Born of our deep interdependence, compassion is essential for human relationships and to a fulfilled humanity.
It is the path to enlightenment and indispensable in the creation of a just economy and a peaceful global community.
Fatah Taylor is a Nanaimo-based counselor and a spiritual practitioner, and he's in the studio with us today, helping us take a closer look at the whole idea of the Charter for Compassion. What are your first thoughts on this, Fatah?
Well, my first thoughts, I think of Buddha as a master of compassion, and he's known
by other spiritual practitioners as the master of compassion, just as Christ is considered the master of self-sacrifice, or Krishna is considered the master of wisdom. So that's the first thing I think about. And he lives a perfect life, in my opinion, the Buddha, the master of compassion. Those are the first thoughts that come to my mind, is Buddha. And I think of Mother Teresa next comes to me, the tireless work that she did, most amazing woman, a master of compassion in her own way, too.
Yeah, there was one phrase that leapt off the page there initially at me, removing ourselves from the throne of importance and putting someone else in that position.
Yes, exactly. I was invited to have tea with Dr. Shastri many years ago. He was a scholar, and he lectured at UBC and down in the United States. And the Sanskrit is considered the religion of love, and it has no I, no first-person singular. And it's the I-ness that gets in the way of compassion for each one of us. And it's interesting that we humans, we're called human, divine beings. The word hu comes from Sanskrit. It means divine. So we are divine beings. And just sometimes we forget about that. Unfortunately.
The Charter for Compassion is written in four separate paragraphs. And I'm wondering if we could take a closer look at the Charter and each of its four paragraphs. Here's the first paragraph.
The principle of compassion lies at the heart of all religious, ethical, and spiritual traditions,
calling us always to treat all others as we wish to be treated ourselves.
Compassion impels us to work tirelessly to alleviate the suffering of our fellow creatures.
To dethrone ourselves from the center of our world and put another there.
To honor the inviolable sanctity of every single human being.
Treating everybody without exception.
With absolute justice, equity, and respect.
Again, Fatah, what are your comments?
Well, my thought is that we have to have compassion for ourselves, because unless we have compassion for ourselves, unless we have it within ourselves, how can we give it out to other people? So how is it? How do we develop compassion within ourselves? That's the big question. What do we do that? Mm-hmm. It's all very well. We can talk and talk and talk, but it doesn't necessarily give us compassion just by talking about it. We have to do something within ourselves.
And the phrase, to honor the inviolable sanctity of every single human being, treating everybody without exception, includes ourselves.
That's right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It must come from within. We must be able to turn around 180 degrees and give ourselves compassion.
Here's the second paragraph from the Charter for Compassion.
It is also necessary in both public and private life
to refrain consistently and empathically from inflicting pain.
To act or speak violently out of spite, chauvinism, or self-interest.
To impoverish, exploit, or deny basic rights to anybody.
And to incite hatred by denigrating others,
even our enemies.
Is a denial of our common humanity.
We acknowledge that we have failed to live compassionately.
And that some have even increased the sum of human misery in the name of religion.
Well, I think of private life. I think once again, I go back to the individual, that we have to look inside ourselves. We have to develop compassion within ourselves. And the big question is, how do we do it? Mm-hmm. You know, certainly the outside, the exoteric part of our lives is important, but we must actually close our eyes, go inside, and be able to see inside ourselves that we are beautiful. We're huge. We're divine beings. To be able to go into your mirror in your washroom, in your bathroom, and look in your eyes and smile into your eyes and say, I love you. I really love you. And to feel the love. And each one of us can do that. It's a simple little exercise. Look in the mirror, smile into your eyes and say, I really love you. We all have it in us to love ourselves. And then we can express compassion after that.
Here's the third paragraph of the Charter for Compassion.
We therefore call upon all men and women
to restore compassion
to the center of morality and religion,
to return to the ancient principle
that any interpretation of scripture
that breeds violence,
hatred,
or disdain
is illegitimate.
To ensure that youth are given accurate and respectful information.
information
about other traditions, religions, and cultures.
To encourage a positive appreciation
of cultural and religious diversity.
To cultivate
an informed empathy
with the suffering of all human beings,
even those
regarded as enemies.
Well, my thinking is, you know, to be able to go into any church, any religion, and see the essence of that religion, see the goodness or the wonder of that religion. And I think, unfortunately, we get outside of that and we start seeing diversity. And that's the problem with the mind. The mind tends to weigh and measure. It sees duality. We have to learn to see singleness, to see oneness. We have to do it. There's no way around it. As human beings, we have to see that we're all one. We're part of each other. I could tell you, if we would take a couple of minutes to tell you a beautiful story. Can I go ahead and do that?
Sure.
This is a true story. It happened on the bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. The man was going to commit suicide, and he was standing on the outside of the railing, and the police and the fire people were called, and the firemen came first, and one of the firemen got over the railing, and was talking to the fellow, trying to get him to not let go. And the man actually let go. The fireman grabbed this man with both hands. Fortunately, other firemen were there, and both of them were rescued. And he was asked on a radio station, why in the world did you put both hands to rescue that man? You would have gone, and you would have died. He said, I had to do it. I couldn't live with myself if I didn't do that. And that is compassion. That's living compassion. Not talking about it, living it. That's what we have to become. We have to live our compassion.
And here is the last paragraph of that charter for compassion.
We urgently need to make compassion a clear, luminous, and dynamic force in our polarized world.
Rooted in a principled determination to transcend selfishness.
Compassion can break down political, dogmatic, ideological, and religious boundaries.
Born of our deep interdependence, compassion is essential for human relationships and to a fulfilled humanity.
It is the path to enlightenment and indispensable in the creation of a just economy and a peaceful global community.
Yes. So, we should bring it up in the school system. You know, we have to do this reading and writing arithmetic stuff. And I hated school right from the beginning. And I was expelled from school in grade 11 and wrote some government exams and went to university for a while. But the school system did nothing. I wanted to find out. Each one of us wants to find out what's really going on inside us. This wondrous, this beautiful human being that we are. And we have to somehow get that into our school system. And not just to teach it outwardly, but to have practices to go inside so that we can learn to feel it inside. It's the inside. And then that will express itself in compassion in an outer way. Mm-hmm. There has to be a way to do that. We have to find a way of doing that right in our school system.
Yeah, there seems to be sort of a paranoia around talking about the really important things in life that actually are the only things that make life meaningful.
Absolutely.
Compassion, love, fun, joy. You know, 6 hours a day spent scrutinizing information is not the most meaningful thing we could do with our children.
That's right.
I'm wondering if one of the reasons for that reluctance, Jen, that you're mentioning are the concerns that surround religions and the propagation of religion and people trying to protect belief systems from other belief systems and similar things?
Yes, well, you know, it's interesting that as far as I know, Christ didn't build any churches. He said the kingdom of God is within. Buddha, as far as I know, didn't build any churches. Muhammad didn't build any churches. They all turned around 100 degrees and they meditated and they found this beauty and this wonder. They contacted their own soul. And they had that conscious moment-by-moment representation that they are beautiful and everybody else is beautiful too. When you find that within yourself, you find everybody else is wonderful too. Mm. We have to find a way of doing that.
Now, Fatah, you mentioned the importance of practicing compassion in everyday life.
Yes.
And you gave one example of a simple practice, which is looking in the mirror and saying, I love you, and beginning to have compassion for oneself. Can you suggest other ways to bring compassion, to awareness in everyday life?
Well, this is very far out, something I'm going to say.
Okay.
We're ready.
Well, we have a soul, and that's a gift of life. In other words, if you didn't have a soul, you wouldn't have life. And our Creator gave us a gift. So in a sense, whatever anybody's problem is, because there's a grain of Creator in us, we created the problem. This is far out. So you can say, I'm sorry, I love you. You can simply say those words to another human being. I'm sorry, I love you, because that being has crossed your path. And you repeat those words, I'm sorry, I love you, and it can change your whole life very, very quickly. In fact, I've had 2 operations for melanoma skin cancer, and I don't have to have the third one because it's going away by saying, I'm sorry, I love you. And this melanoma skin cancer, the side of my nose, is disappearing. Now, I don't have to control it with diet anymore. I just say, I'm sorry, I love you. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. The trouble is, it's too simple.
Yes.
Yeah, so that, again, the power of speaking to yourself and acknowledging your worth enables you to then look outward and acknowledge other people's worth as well.
Yes, absolutely.
It just becomes a habit.
It does, absolutely. You know, you can say it as a mantra over and over again. Just, I love you. I love you. And eventually, everybody picks it up, yourself included. Everything, doesn't matter what it is. It could be an inanimate object. I'm sorry, I love you. Everything will work better. A car will work better. You tell your car you love it, and it works better. And I've proven it to myself. Last car I had that blew up.
It
stopped in front of a garage, and the guy gave me $250 for the transmission. It works.
I think the line that seemed to resonate the strongest with me at the first reading of this Charter for Compassion was the necessity in both public and private life to refrain consistently and emphatically from inflicting pain. And I'm led into areas of considering government action or inaction, community action or inaction that can cause deep pain to individuals within those countries and communities.
Yeah, we, in order to change the outer world, we change the inner world. That's the crux of it. I think Dalai Lama mentioned that we have to become loving ourselves. We have to become understanding, and we have to continually practice that. I think his monks, I don't know how many hours a day, I spend about 3 hours a day meditating. So going inside, in fact, my teacher wants me to practice 24 hours a day, but I'm not that good a student. Sorry.
Yeah, the institutional stuff is interesting, too, because so much of our society is punitive. You know, jails leap to mind as being the worst, you know, in terms of punishment. But everywhere you look, there are signs going, stop, don't, no, somehow turning it around and encouraging people rather than always coming from the negative, you know, imagining that we're going to do something wrong before we even do it. There's just a lot of rules about that sort of stuff.
Absolutely, there is. You know, it's interesting. You probably, most people have heard the expression om. It's a Sanskrit word. It simply means yes. So you say yes to life. Doesn't mean you necessarily agree with what's going on, but you say yes to life. Whatever happens, yes, I understand. You have understanding. You stand under things. You support life itself. All the goodness. In fact, the goodness is just an extension of God.
Fatah Taylor, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciated your willingness and your interest in this new initiative and in commenting on the Charter for Compassion.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking today about a new Charter for Compassion that originated with a wish, an idea, that scholar and author Karen Armstrong brought to the TED Conference in 2008. That charter has now been unveiled, and you can find it online at www.charterforcompassion.org. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY 101.7 FM, chly.ca, community radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of these organizations.